Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to be here. What a wonderful blessing from heaven. Wonderful, wonderful blessing from heaven. You would have had to preach for 33, 4 years and then go for, well, this time it's been 2 years at least since I've preached any. At least 2 years, maybe probably a little more. And you, of course, remember the words of Jeremiah when he once resolved that he just wasn't going to preach anymore. It just caused too much trouble. The problem was just too great. The responsibility was just too heavy. And there was just too much opposition and ill will directed toward the preacher, the prophet. He said, "I don't do this no more. Lord, you can get somebody else." And so he kept his mouth shut for a little while. And then he said, "Well, I can't make good on this." Said he's like a fire shut up in my bones. Indeed it was and is. I can tell you, I can confirm that. That's the way it is. If you've got any preacher in you and you can't preach, and even though you want to, you're just not physically able. And I don't really know how far I'll get into this today, brethren, tell you the truth. I don't know. I'm just winging it, in terms of my physical ability to get through with a sermon again. I don't know. I doubt I'll finish this one. But anyway, I want to just say a few things and trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts on this matter. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin reading in verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I have made no preparation for this sermon today, so I've got a good excuse for sorry preaching, and the fact that I haven't done this in a couple of years. So, as Brother Conrad always says, he's like myself. We always seem to got an excuse for sorry preaching. Verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful," or the word is, if you've got a margin there, it's possible. "It's not possible," he said, "for a man to utter the things that I have seen while in the glory." And I don't really understand all that's included in that, to tell you the truth, but I'll just have to take his word for it that it's not possible to utter it. "Of such in one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, if I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." And we ought never try to impose on people, especially people that know us. They know us. And people that see us on a regular basis, we're not going to fool them. We're not going to impose on them. We're not going to deceive them. They have pretty much sized us up. And, of course, Christians generally are always willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. You remember the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul says, among other things about some of the features of love, it believeth all things, beareth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That doesn't mean that the Christian is a gullible goose and he's a complete idiot. Don't mean that. It simply means that they are willing, where there is real love, shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, to believe the best about our brothers and sisters until the worst is proved. When he says love, believe it all things. That's what it means, as far as I can tell. Doesn't mean that we're naive, we're blind, don't know what's going on, unenlightened. Doesn't mean that. Again, it simply means to believe the best about our brothers and sisters until the worst is proved. And most of y'all have had occasion and opportunity to see the, I guess, the best in me, and I guess the worst also in me. You hadn't seen the worst, but you have seen enough of that that's bad about me, about Ricky Roy. And so I'm not here to, there's no need for me to try to impress you today. Y'all know me too well. And that's what Paul's saying pretty much. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to glory. I'm not going to try to be impressive. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I hadn't got to that place where Paul was yet, quite yet. I hadn't made it. I have had enough afflictions, you would think. If a man was ever going to get to that place, like Paul, where he gloried in his infirmities, then Reggie Roy ought to be there. But, I wish I was. And sometimes I can thank God for my afflictions and for his discipline and for his chastening and for his rebukes. Then there are times that I don't always feel that way, but I'm going to be dealing with that a little later on if I get to it. In necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray together, brethren, and ask God's blessing on our gathering today and on His Word. Please pray with me, please. Father in heaven, God of heaven and of earth, one living and true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, we bow the knee of our hearts before you. Lord, we would, as it were, abase ourselves and humble ourselves under your mighty hand. For Lord, thou art God. Your counsel stands and you do all of your pleasure. When your hand is stretched out, O Lord, none can turn it back. You do according to your will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay your hand and say unto thee, what doest thou? Lord, thou art God over all. It is you, O Lord, that sits upon the circle of the earth, and all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as grasshoppers before you. You stretched out the heavens as a curtain and made them as a tent to dwell in. And we praise you and bless your great name. Amen. We thank you and praise you for your unspeakable gift. without whom salvation would be utterly impossible. For the likes of us, O dear God, for Lord, confessedly, O Lord, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Father, I have indeed been estranged from the womb, and as soon as I was born, I went astray speaking lies. And I was like the infant thrown out in the field and in its own blood. And blessed God, you came by. And just as you did there in Genesis 1, where you said, light be, and there was light. You said to us when we were in our blood, live. You spoke, and it was done. You commanded, and it stood fast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, indeed, we are not sufficient of ourselves so as to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Lord, give me your sufficiency, O Lord, today. Grant that your strength that we have just read in your holy word would be perfected in my confessed, my felt, and acknowledged weakness, O God. Father, bless your word. Sanctify it to our poor, needy hearts, O God. For Lord, we are indeed all poor and needy, O God. And we wait before you, the living God. And Lord, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth our hearts after thee, O God. When shall we come and appear before the living God? Breathe upon us. O blessed wind of God, come. O Lord the Spirit, come, blessed Holy Ghost. Open our understandings. Quicken us afresh in you, O God, to the things of God. Lord, we pray for Brother Joe and Sister Donna, that you would be pleased to raise them up. We pray that you'd be pleased now as the God of all comfort to give them comfort in this time of being laid aside. And for you said, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. Lord, comfort them in this fashion, let it please thee, O God, and be pleased to raise them up, O Lord. For all the afflicted of the flock, we pray, Father, you'd put your mercy upon them and help them to deal with and to cope with all their afflictions, all their impairments, and all their infirmities, O God. Help Mr. Drew Jones and have mercy upon him, O Lord. Be pleased, O God, to raise him up, and especially be pleased to give him a heart to know and to love the Lord. Lord, help us now. We wait before you. We confess, O Lord, that we are shut up to you. Indeed, O Lord, I am as a man that hath no strength, well nigh, and my strength indeed is dried up like a potsherd. But Lord, thou art able. Amen. Thou art the mighty God of Jacob. And as our brother pointed out, with you nothing is impossible. You, Lord, can help me, and I will be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you, O Lord, are worthy to receive it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we praise you. Amen and amen. And amen. I want to speak to you, for the most part, about from just the first part of this verse, where the Lord says unto the apostle, regarding this messenger from Satan that was sent to buffet him to prevent his being exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations. The Lord, he had sought him, besought the Lord three times. He had said, "My grace," in reply to his prayers, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And indeed it is.
Amen.
We should never, brethren, allow ourselves to think that privilege, experience, or position will exempt us from trouble or affliction, because it ain't. Never think for a moment that at a certain amount of trouble, affliction, problems, difficulties, that you're going to get used to it and it won't bother you anymore. You know, because that's not going to happen either. That just ain't going to happen. We're not going to ever get to the place where those things no longer trouble us or bother us. Years ago, back from 1996 until 2002, I went through a period there, about six and a half years. I had to use a 51 French Savory dilator to dilate my esophagus every day to eat in order to get my food to go past through my esophagus and down to my stomach. Every day, just about every day, 6.5 years, I went through that. And, of course, it got to the place where it wasn't bad. It wasn't just, all the gagging and spitting and that you might think. You think when you first start out learning how to do it, that's where it's going to be all the time, but it's not. But anyway, I was getting ready to dilate my esophagus one day and eat a meal, I don't know where it was, lunch or supper or what, but Stephen came by and says, "Daddy, do you ever get where you like that?" No, I told him, "No, sir. I have never got to the place, to the point where I like this. And I just don't bother me anymore. I just enjoy this. I am really getting a bang out of this. It's really lighting me up." It wasn't like that. Now, you take my word for it. Don't go get you one. Try it, because you're not going to like it if you do. But I didn't ever get to the place where I liked it. Wasn't bad as it was when I first started, but I didn't get to the place where it just didn't, where I just could say I enjoyed it or I liked it. And the Lord will always make us feel the afflictions and troubles that He sends. Every single time He's going to make us feel it. We can count on that. He will never waste one single affliction or trouble. Not one. I got to let them die in here several years ago. I don't remember when it was, I think. I had been in the hospital, and Diane, of course, you know Diane, she does a lot of this. One of the things that God has given her to do, she sends people cards that have been sick or have been out of church or had problems. Diane would send you a nice card. And she had sent me a nice card. And she made that very statement. And she simply said that our God never wastes one affliction. That's exactly what she said. You remember that? And He doesn't. He's not going to waste anything. And he's not going to waste one on us, because He is determined to conform us to the image and likeness of His Son.
Amen.
This is His stated purpose in Romans chapter 8, 28 and reading forward. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Amen.
And that's why Paul could say, "If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And on he goes with that. And Paul gets kind of carried away there. And he runs out. And he almost gets, you think he's going to start shouting about the security of the children of God and the saints of God. So God has got his mind made up about that. And let me say this about troubles and affliction. There are going to be a number of times when even your prayers and the prayers of the brethren are not going to deliver you from that affliction. And by that I simply mean it's not going to be done or accomplished. You or I are not going to be delivered until God has accomplished what He intends to accomplish. And so we think sometimes that our prayers are useless and they've been wasted and just gone up in the air and evaporated and come to nothing. And I'm not saying God doesn't answer prayer. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying, brethren, sisters, that God has a time to do the things He's going to do and accomplish the things He has determined to do. You see, God has a sovereign providence allotted for every single one of His children. Every one of them. And He's got certain things that He's going to work in us. And in my case, I think He's got a lot of things He's going to work out of us. And He's been working on me pretty good here the last 4 or 5 years. Or longer than that, to tell you the truth about it. It's probably the last 20 years. And I certainly appreciate the prayers of all of you. And I have thanked the Lord a lot of times in private and still do for your prayers. And there are other people, brethren, at other churches. Brother Barrett Holloway's church and the people of Brother Tim's church, they pray for me, my family, and I'm grateful for that. I'm just saying that just because we pray, we go into our closet place wherever we got that located, and we pray and we think that we ought to be healed before we get back to the bed. But it doesn't work like that, brethren. God has got this sovereign providence for every one of His children. And whatever God has decreed, men, women, boys, and girls must experience. Amen. What God has decreed becomes absolutely necessary. Once God has said, that's what's going to be, well, that's going to be. So we need not to, don't think that God has not heard your prayers. But on the other hand, don't think that just because you prayed that in 15 minutes you're going to be delivered and it's all going to be over and you won't hurt anymore. The pain will be gone. The depression will be gone. The anxiety will be gone. The sorrow will be gone. It's just not like that because it's because of the way we are. There's nothing wrong with God. Nothing wrong with Christ. Nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. But brethren, we got a lot of stuff wrong with us. Amen. I have found out in 38 years, I have got a lot of stuff wrong with me. I found out that there was a whole lot in regular order that was just dead wrong. And to be truthful about the matter, brethren, it was sin. That has been the thing that God has rebuked me for. Sin. Amen. There's no need to stand up here before you and before God and angels all around and lie about that. But rather this, and when we start out on this journey, we, for some reason, I don't know, I guess most of us do, when we start out on this journey as Christians, we think that everything is going to be rosy. We're not going to displease God anymore. There's not going to be any more rebellion. There's not going to be any more willfulness. There's not going to be any more stubbornness. There's not going to be any more this wanting to have my own will and my own way. There won't be any more of that. No. Oh, my wife and I are not going to fuss anymore. We're not going to fuss in front of the children anymore. But we do. But we do. And we got all this stuff that, you know, that's in our head, that we're this negative stuff. We're just not going to do things anymore because we're Christians now. Well, so was Abraham. But he put his wife in a king's harem. Abraham did that to his wife? Abraham, the father of the faithful? The man who is held up to us as a great example of giving glory to God by his strong faith? Yes. That same Abraham. He's found in the Bible. Especially in the book of Genesis. John chapter 8. Romans chapter 4. And other places. He is held up as the great example of believing and trusting in God. Yes, Abraham. And I could give you some other things about Abraham and others. But, and of course, you're acquainted with, you know about... I was just thinking, I think yesterday, one of the men in the Bible that seemed to have loved God the most seems to be the very man that got in the most trouble. You know, and tried to, and insisted on going his own way at times, and did. And did. I mean, we don't have time to go through all the things that David was guilty of in terms of his sin against God. There are some things already come to your mind. I can tell you a couple of them that's already in your mind right now. They just jumped up there as soon as I mentioned David's name. Not to mention, you know, the fact he wouldn't make his children mine. He wouldn't discipline his children. Absalom killed Amnon, his brother. Amnon raped his sister Tamar. What happened? Well, Absalom took it on himself to take care of Amnon. He killed him. And then, of course, Joab took care of Absalom. He killed him. Hanging in an oak tree by that thing which he gloried, that stuff he gloried in, his hair. Pulled it every year. There was not a blemish, the Bible said, in him. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Absalom was a handsome, handsome, fall down, handsome man. David. Now, there's just a few things. I got to run on, too. I said I wasn't going to get through, and I'm not. But I didn't think I'd get as far as I would. How about that? But remember, in those times of tribulation and times of trouble, of hardship, when there's not enough money to pay all the bills, and you're trying to figure out which one we're going to pay and which one we'll have to let slide for a few days, or maybe you can't come up with a car payment, or you can't pay a hospital bill, or a doctor bill, or the light bill, or a gas bill, or there's not enough to buy as many groceries as you need, or you're sick on top of all that, on top of all that. You're so sick you can't hardly hold your head up. Christians don't have that kind of trouble. Yes, they do. Yes, count on it, brothers. You already, most of y'all been saved long enough to know that, but all of us have long enough to know these things that I'm talking about, that they are true. But what we need to do is bear in mind the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 14, in the world you shall have tribulation. Paul and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that this thing of tribulation is appointed. Tribulation or pressure. Same word Jesus uses. John 14. Same word Paul uses in Acts 14. It is through much tribulation. It is through much pressure. God brings pressure to bear on us by means of circumstances that He has, by His own sovereign decree, determined for us. And He puts us, as it were, in that vise and begins to turn it down. And God brings the pressure to bear on us. In keeping with, in pursuance of, a divine determination to get something out of that hard-headed preacher over there on Cannon Hill. Or to work something in him that he won't stir. He wants to work some virtue in him. Love. Gentleness. Meekness. Temperance. Patience. Ooh, boy. Boy, I've had that verse come to mind so many times. You have need of patience. Boy, that comes to me so many times. How many times in my lifetime as a Christian has that came to my, through my brain in certain in situations? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to get upset with John Allen. I'm not going to get upset with Juanita. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm going to be gentle. And I'm going to be thoughtful and caring. And I hope I am most of the time. But rather there are times I don't make good on my resolves. And just like Abraham, brethren, or David, left to ourselves, and Peter, not given grace that God could have given, and Peter would never have failed, David would not have fallen, Abraham would never have put his wife into a king's, an eastern king's, a heathen harlot. No. But Peter must fall. I don't know about that kind of stuff you're preaching, Brother Reggie. David must fall. Abraham must fall. Abraham must go down into Egypt. David must go in to Bathsheba. David must arrange to have Uriah put to death. Peter is to fall and with cursing and oaths deny his Lord and Master. The one that was the most vocal. The one that was the most outspoken. And the one who declared that everybody else will leave you, Lord, but not me. And he was looking into the face of him who was not only a man, but who was the eternal God. Jehovah Jesus, the God-man, who knew all things. Said, Peter, you just don't know your own heart. Satan has desired you to sift your wheat, and he did. And he got sifted. He desired him. He had to go get permission, granted. He had to get permission from God to trip Peter up. I'm not going to get through with this and I'm about out of time. Where's it gone? But anyway, in times like these, remember the words of our Lord. Remember the words inspired by the Holy Ghost, written by Paul and others. And labor, brethren, labor, labor. Not to entertain hard thoughts about God. For God is too good, too merciful, too gracious, too pitiful, too tender, too kind to us, brothers and sisters. His distinguishing grace has enclosed us, as it were, like Solomon says in the Song of Solomon, we, the church, is like a garden enclosed.
Praise God.
There's a wall around us. God has set His people apart. and distinguish them from the world by free and sovereign grace. And the only reason Lamar is here today, and off not laying on the bed and reading some pornographic literature or watching some on TV, is because of free and sovereign distinguishing grace. Same thing true of Ricky Roy. What's the difference? What made the difference in the two thieves on the cross? Both were thieves. What made the difference? Distinguishing grace. And brother, we need to, and I know, believe me, I know how, take my word for it, I know how tough, excuse me, I know how tough it can get. I have known something about pain for over 20 years. I have known the last 4 years a lot about pain. Physical pain. All kinds of pain. It seems like the whole gamut of pain of every kind, I seem like I've gone through the last 4 or 5 years. But God, brother, sister, has been too good and too merciful, too pitiful, too tender, too faithful for me to go around and entertaining hard thoughts about Him, because the devil is going to sure try to take advantage of you in a difficult situation so as to get you to think hard of God, your dear Father in heaven, and your blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is. Satan is not going to miss an opportunity like affliction, like trouble, persecution, tribulation. He's going to take advantage of that. If God does not hold him off, keep him off of us. I know, because I have to battle him all the time. I have to battle a lying devil, lying demons, and a heart that still has, according to the Lord Jesus, evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Out of the heart, he said, proceed evil thoughts. That's the first thing he mentions in that catalog of all those sins there. Evil thoughts. Then he talks about adultery and fornication and blasphemies. We don't need Satan to help us. I was talking to a dear friend of mine some time ago, and he said, you know, and he had had a tough week or two battling these thoughts that we have to deal with and we've got to grapple with. And he said he would ask himself, where in the world is this stuff coming from? Where is this coming from? I don't want this. I hate this. And I hate it. I hate it when those thoughts come through my head, my little old pea brain. I hate it. But they're there. And he said, it's just like the Lord said, son, they come from your heart. Y'all believe that?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Y'all believe the Bible. That's in the Bible. Matthew 15. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. Good. All right, I'm going to press on here and get through. I've done run out. I would never thought that I would have been up to getting through this much. And Satan, our own unbelief, demons, will try to convince us that God has singled us out so as to make an example out of us, or just to make, for no other reason, to make life miserable for us. God just wants you to be utterly miserable. That's why you're going through what you're going through. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. No, sir. No, brother, sister. That ain't why you're going through it. Satan will tell you that. Your own unbelief will suggest that to your thinking. But that's not true. And I'll tell you something else about chastening. Chastening is not necessarily evidence of sin, but of sonship. chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Every real son or daughter partakes of it. And that in order to make us partakers of His holiness and to produce in us the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And I was a whole lot further off from that than I thought I was at one time, brethren. I can tell you that. Now, everybody I understand is not made up like I am. And nobody knows me better than my wife knows me. And I said something about a few weeks ago, I said something about my tendency to be willful. And she said, "You've always been willful." Well, I can't deny it. I mean, that's just, you know, where I'm that way. Some other people have another problem, you know. Lamar doesn't have that problem. He's not Riggy Roaring. Diane's not like that. Stephen's not like that. But I am. I mean, that's a problem I've always had. And so the Lord, but He said, "I got something for that. I got something for that." You know? You go to the drugstore and the pharmacist says, "Yeah, I've got something for that." And the Lord says, "Well, I've got something for Ricky. I've got something for Chuck." And He does. We must bring our minds, brethren, to regard trouble and affliction as giving us an opportunity to praise His power and sufficiency. That's one of the things that we do in passing through sometimes the deep waters, when deep calleth unto deep, and the water spouts make a great noise. When you're passing through the floods, and the fire is just looks like it's fixing to lick you up and each burn you up. But He said it wouldn't do that. The fire won't kindle upon you. The floods won't overflow you.
Amen.
No. My grace is sufficient for thee. Right, two things I didn't think I'd ever get this far. Now then, there's not only that, what was the first point I made? That's the first point. It's to be the first point I've made. How about that? This is the first point I'm outlining. I just got through the introduction. Never thought I'd get this far. The authority behind the statement. Who said so? Who said my grace is sufficient for thee?
Jesus.
He did. He said, Paul said. That who is He? He's talking about Jehovah. He's talking about the eternal, self-existent, self-sufficient, undivided essence, the Almighty, filling immensity in all space and time, having all power, unbounded, infinite, unlimited power, so that to Him nothing is too hard or impossible. He said it. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you and me and you and you and you and you." Hallelujah. Praise God, brothers. Praise God.
Amen.
So the authority behind the statement is an infallible one. That is, one that is incapable of error or mistake. One that cannot possibly ever, never be wrong. If it were the words of a fallible creature, then it may or may not be correct. But this is based on perfect foreknowledge and omniscience. This statement is. And it is. And we'll find, brethren, and there'll be times when it is going to occur to you, "I ain't going to make it through this one." I went out to the emergency room last Saturday morning about 3 o'clock, I woke up at 2:30 and went to the bathroom, came back, and I keep water beside my right beside my bed. I have to drink a lot of water every day. And drank some water and lay back down. And I took a sigh and deep breath. It was just like somebody had walked up beside the bed and took a sword and just stuck it right in here, and just like it was tearing everything out. And I lay there just a minute, and I said, well, that's something happened, it'll go. Well, I said, I'll take another deep breath, see if it how it does, and it just cut me again. I tried that a couple of times, and I said, there's something bad wrong with me. I said, there's something ain't right. And it done got up in here and up in my this entire left quad. And I woke one eat up, and I said, I've got to go to the emergency room. There's something wrong with me. I went and told Stephen. I said, Stephen, if you don't mind, get up. I hate to get you up this early, but I've got to go out to the emergency room and find out what's wrong with me. But nothing life-threatening. I didn't know that. I really thought I was having a heart attack when it got up and hurting all up in here. I thought I was having a heart attack. Because among other things, other than the pain that the problem was creating, was the fact that I just literally scared myself to death. And y'all ever panic like that? You ever had those panic where that is, it's over? This is it. Well, I had one of them. I have one. You're looking at one of a friend. You got a friend to talk to. I've been there, and I did. I thought on the way to the hospital it was just killing me. And I started quoting, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say the Lord is my helper. My help coming from the Lord which made heaven and earth." Stephen will tell you, I stood down saying those things. I was everything I could think about. I read the call out and quote and do something to kind of get a hold of myself and calm myself down. But you know, you'll have something like that maybe. Maybe you won't, maybe you will. Some of you shook your head like you've already been through one of those where you just panic and you scare yourself to death. Because you don't know what's wrong with you. You know something is wrong, but you don't know what it is. And until you get that cleared up, then there's all this uncertainty and all this anxiety. And I would, I'm not going to do that. I done told you kind of fellow I am. Most of you know that anyway. But anyway, there's a lot more I could say, but I took more when I thought I would. I didn't know I could preach this long. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you for your kindness and your patience with an old man.